Hey, everybody. This is Jordan Adler checking in with you tonight from Phoenix, Arizona. Today is the 8th of August, 2011. This is our team webcast where we go over training, strategy, announcements, and promotions. And tonight, I'm going to talk about a part-time focus creates a full-time income. Lessons that I learned on my path to $100,000 per month. And remember, numbers are just numbers. And I have a saying in our business that the mountain doesn't care. When flying a hang glider, as long as you follow the rules, and there's rules of nature, there's laws and rules of nature, you'll have an amazing, safe, and uneventful flight. But if you break the rules or you break the laws, you'll crash and you'll get seriously injured or possibly even die. The mountain doesn't care. You want to be true to the fundamentals of safe flight and you'll enjoy the rewards. And it doesn't matter if you're smart. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter how much hair you have or how big your bank account is. If you break the rules and the laws and you crash, the mountain doesn't care. Well, in our business, there's an address attached to your ID number. Everyone has an ID number, and there's a mailing address attached to it. And each month, a snapshot is taken of your organization and the purchases made within it. And the computer calculates your check, and it spits it out. The machine then stuffs it in an envelope and mails it to the address in the company computer. It doesn't care how old you are, how smart you are, whether you're male or female, black or white, skinny or tall, and it doesn't even matter if you have a college degree. Here's the bottom line. The computer doesn't care, just like the mountain doesn't care. Do you want to add a zero to your check? Then that's all you need to do is expand your organization and your customer base until the calculation equals the check you want. There's no scarcity of potential customers or business builders out there. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I realized that was pretty liberating. The computer does not care what your background is. It will calculate your check based on what's happening in your organization, and it will spit it out, stuff it in an envelope, and mail it to your mailbox, and you can take it down to your bank, and you can cash it. Now, here's a few things that I've heard from my distributors in the field in the past. I've heard this actually a number of times over the years. Number one, you have to get in early to make a lot of money. That is a death sentence. Number two, Jordan is an enigma. No one will ever do it again like he did it. That's a death sentence. The minute you buy into either one of these two statements, you're done. You have no chance. Imagine if you were the one to say, Roger Bannister was an enigma. No one else will ever run the 4-minute mile. That's a death sentence. You don't have a chance. Roger Bannister's impact on America and the world was immediate. This Englishman, he changed the perception of human limitations when he broke a seemingly insurmountable barrier, the sub-4-minute mile, and the Oxford University medical student used intense interval training and innovative distance running and sprint technique to fine-tune his speed. And on May 6, 1954, at the British Amateur Athletic Association in Oxford, Bannister brought in a time of 3 minutes and 59 seconds. Hailed around the world as the miracle mile. And do you know that there were many tens of thousands, possibly even hundreds of thousands, that said Roger Bannister is an enigma, no one else will ever do it. It was physically impossible prior to Roger Bannister breaking that record. Now, a psychological barrier was shattered, and what once was impossible became standard for many other people. 6 weeks after Bannister's record-breaking race, John Landry set a new record of 3 minutes and 57 seconds to break Roger Bannister's record. Now, to date, over 1,000 people have run the 4-minute mile, and probably actually closer to 2,000 people. But the only people that have run it are the ones that believed that it was possible to run it. Anybody who thought that Roger Bannister's record was an enigma, that there was something about him that was special, that no one else would ever do it, well, obviously they never did it. The reason so few people make it to $100,000 a month is, one, most people see it as a lottery. Making a lot of money in network marketing is not a lottery. It's not like one day lightning's going to strike you and you'll be rich. You have to create your success by who you become. Think of it this way. Below our head, we're all worth minimum wage. Our brain is the most elaborate computer ever created, but it must be fine-tuned, and it's not just what we know. In fact, what we know and what we learn is really a very small part of whether we make it big or not in network marketing. Our brain sends out energy, and how we energetically connect with other people has lots to do with how we attract others. So whether your business is going up or down or whether it's flat has to do with whether you've chosen to create your future or whether you're waiting for lightning to strike. So let's say you bought a beautiful sports car. Now, I know some of you aren't into sports cars, and that's fine, but let's just use this as a metaphor. You bought this beautiful sports car, and you spent $100,000 on that car. Are you going to baby it, or are you going to abuse it? You would put the finest fuel in it, and you'd make sure that it stays finely tuned. You'd probably give it more attention than most people do to their brains. We abuse our brains with the garbage we expose it to, the food we eat, the news we listen to, and even the videos we watch. We need to baby our mind the same way we would baby a sports car. Your brain is way more valuable than any sports car that you'll ever own. So the second thing is most people don't believe that it's possible to make $100,000 a month. Let me explain this. So let's survey 1,000 people. How many people believe that $100,000 a month is even possible? Probably, I don't know, 1% or 10 out of 1,000 people even believe that $100,000 a month is possible. Now, of the 10, how many believe it's possible for them? Probably one. So one out of 1,000 believe that $100,000 a month is possible for them. And this is the reason why so few people ever do it. Most people are done before even starting. This is really big stuff. Whatever level you want to get to, the first step is programming your mind to believe it's possible for you. So for you, it may be $5,000 a month. For you, $100,000 a month. In fact, I know as a fact that half the people listening in on this call tonight, probably more, don't believe $100,000 a month is possible for them. In fact, my guess is it's probably 95% don't believe, really, they don't believe it's possible for them. You're done. It doesn't mean you can't make money in network marketing. It doesn't mean you can't make $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 a month. But if you really say you want big money, until you can believe that's possible for you, then you're done. It's kind of like it's a death sentence to that level. And this is, like I said, this is really big stuff. Whatever level you want to get to, the first step is programming your mind to believe it's possible for you. And until that happens, you have a death sentence in the business. Your mind will not be conditioned for this kind of success by watching TV or reading the newspaper. You'll need to hear from others that have done it so you can believe it's possible for you. There's a lot of different ways to do that. Going to conferences where there's other people that have already made $100,000 a month. When you meet 10 people or 20 people that have made $100,000 a month, you meet them, you shake their hand, you hear them speaking, you hear their stories, all of a sudden you realize, you know what? It's not just one or two people that have done this. Lots of people have done it in their careers. You know, if you went up to Beyonce and you said that you have an opportunity that she could work part-time and make $100,000 a month, what would she say to you? She'd laugh in your face. $100,000 a month would not even pay the expenses on her home, most likely. She put $100,000 in change sitting on her dresser. Yet if you went up to someone at your job and you said you have a way to make $100,000 a month, they would laugh in your face too. And they'd say, that sounds too good to be true. Now, you'd never do that because it's really obnoxious and it's illegal to use incomes to recruit. But you get the point. It's all relative. In professional sports and entertainment, the top people make millions per year. And $100,000 a month to somebody that makes millions per year is not a lot of money. And there are... There are hundreds of thousands of people that financially struggle in those professions. In the entertainment and sports field, there's hundreds of thousands that struggle financially. And there's a few that make millions. And in the job world, most people make under $50,000 per year, and they're chained to a cubicle. In our profession, the top people earn $100,000 to $1 million per month and more, and everyone enters in with the same opportunity. But that's all it is an opportunity, and the computer doesn't care. It doesn't know your background. It doesn't know your level of education. It doesn't know how old you are. It doesn't know your race. The only thing it knows is if you've created this organization that throws off a certain amount of volume, you're going to get a check each month. You know, when I started in network marketing, I couldn't afford a bed for 2 years in the 80s, early 80s. I slept in the corner of my roommate's condo. In fact, he's still a good friend today. His name is David Rita. His wife is named Sabra. When we were roommates, they had not met. I was hanging out with David when he met Sabra. and they've got two kids today that are grown, and I slept in the corner of that condo with a blanket and a pillow. He co-signed for me and helped me finance my first bed. It was a water bed with a trellis and padded rails. And I was offered an opportunity in network marketing 21 years later. At the age of 48, I was making well over $100,000 a month, and I had already made over $10 million in network marketing. So here's a few things that I learned on my path to $100,000 per month. Number one, the big money is in the small money. Network marketing is designed, it's designed as a part-time business. And I've looked at lots and lots of different companies. It is designed as a part-time business. Most people are in the best position to work the business part-time in the beginning. As their part-time income grows, at some point, it just makes sense to transition into a full-time business. But most people are not in a position from a time or a money standpoint to start full-time. And there are way more people that can look at a part-time business than a full-time business. If you promise full-time income to someone and then 6 months down the road or a year down the road they're making $500 a month, they'll be let down and many times they'll quit because they were expecting to be making $3,000 to $5,000 a month and they're only making $500 a month and they saw it as a full-time thing. But if you promise a little part-time income for a while, that extra $500 a month can make a huge difference. If you want a large income in network marketing, help lots and lots of people create a part-time income. This is a part-time business. The big money is in the small money. $500 a month will drastically change someone's life for the better. Number two, you must create or plug into the culture of your organization or your company. You know, Apple has a culture. We all know what that culture is, and it's kind of hard to describe, but if you want to buck the establishment and take control of your life, you're probably attracted to Apple. There's a certain type of individual. Not everyone is attracted to Apple. There's certain people that are attracted to PCs and Bill Gates, and there's other people that are attracted to Steven Jobs and Apple. Harley Davidson has a culture. You're a free spirit. You love the open road, and you're an American. You're probably a Harley guy or girl. Certain people find them and are attracted to them because they have a well-defined culture. Well, we attract people based on our culture as well. Who we attract is based on the culture that we've created. For example, we have a culture of giving, a culture of fun, a culture of working together. Cody's created a culture of reaching out in kindness and acknowledging people for who they are. As a result, we tend to attract people that share the same values. Those that are all about the money and not about the values will tend to either change or go away. It's not that it's right or wrong. It's not that our culture is bad and another company's culture is better. It's just that we have a culture that attracts a certain type of people. So one thing I see consistent among those that earn a lot of money is that they're really clear about who they are and who they want to attract. And it's important because as soon as you lose focus on that, it's kind of like trying to drive a car on a really well-graded road and then going off the road, and now it gets rough. It's rough sailing if you're not on the road. So the culture is kind of like a pathway that we create. And we attract people to our road through that pathway that we've created. Number three, you have to raise your tolerance threshold. Most people have a very low tolerance threshold. Most people sign up with their company and they expect everyone to be just excited as they are. And for most people, the bar is so low and their dreams are so small that the littlest thing will knock them out of the business. And I know this. This is what I did for my first, actually 11 companies. I had a very, very low tolerance threshold. The littlest thing would cause me to quit. $100,000 a month earner, before they've ever made their first penny, they have a very high tolerance threshold. They're going to the top no matter what anyone else says or does. It's easy to commit at this level until your first major setback. In other words, I can say I'm committed, I have a high tolerance threshold, and that all sounds good, and you can mentally make that commitment until you have your big challenge. The big challenge is the one that really tests you to see what your tolerance threshold is. And if you are 100% aligned with the culture of your company, you believe in the mission, and you're committed to seeing the job through, there's nothing that will cause you to quit. Jeff Roberti stuck around his company back in the early 90s, even after all his leaders left him in a major transition, all of them. The result is he rebounded and went on to make over $70 million with his company. He was the only one that stuck around. And then over the course of the next 20 years, he built an amazing, solid leadership team. He has a very high tolerance threshold, and he was committed to seeing the job through. You and your founder are in partnership with each other. If he or she doesn't quit on you, why would you ever quit on him? Because it, or her? Because if you think about it, they've made a commitment at a level that it doesn't matter. They're going to see the job through. Number four, business cards were my key to meeting the right people. Do you know why people have business cards printed? Because they want to give them to you. Millions are printed each day. Every time somebody starts a new business, what's the first thing they do? They go order their business cards. And do you know that there have been millions of businesses started in the past 5 years, small businesses? Why would anyone ever print a business card if they didn't want to give it to you? I just chose to put myself in front of people that had business cards and then ask them for their card. They're whipping them out before I even ask. Now I was off to the races. I did this for many years, and with some advice from Harvey McKay, I just read it in his books, I did my best to stay in touch with those people, look for it to be of value to them and get to know them. And I did this for many years and built solid relationships with many, many people. And I also read and listened to CDs to become a more valuable resource to other people in general. And I did this consistently for years. I found that the most successful entrepreneurs in business and in our profession, the top people in our profession, are masterful at meeting new people and staying in touch. And I just happened to do it through grabbing business cards from people that wanted to give them to me. And then doesn't it make sense as a good person to stay in touch with those people, become friends with some of them, look for ways of being of value, and just continue to grow my Rolodex, my contact manager? Number five, the paradox. The thing that gets you into this business will not give you the success that you're looking for. That's the paradox. The thing that gets you into this business will not get you the success you're looking for. What brings most people into the business is a desire for personal gain. That personal desire can keep you around for the long haul, but your success will be born out of your attention to giving to others and helping others to achieve their own personal success. As Zig Ziglar would say, you can have anything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. But again, the thing that got you in won't allow you to be successful if you're focused on that personal gain. Again, you got to stay clear on what your dreams are and your culture and, you know, all those things. But it's not that. It's your attention to other people. It's attention to really listening and understanding and what they're looking for out of the business and doing your very best to be committed to helping them get their dreams and goals. Number six, it's all about the networking. Now, the example I'm about to give you is a good example and a little bit of a bad example, and you'll understand. So you're 14 years old. You've never held a cigarette in your hand. A friend hands you a free sample of a cigarette and shows you how to smoke it. You don't really like it all that much, but you smoke it because everyone else is at it. A week later, that same friend gives you another one, and so just to fit in, you smoke that one. The next day, you're out at the mall, and a group of friends are all standing around smoking cigarettes, and you ask another friend if you could grab one from them. He hands you a smoke, and you smoke that one. The first three cigarettes were free, and now you're hooked. You're starting to like it, not so much for how it tastes or how it makes you feel, but it's a social thing. It's kind of like just what you do when you're hanging out with your friends. So then you start buying your own packs, and for the next 40 years until you die of cancer, you're a smoker spending $5 a day or $100 to $150 a month on cigarettes. Some of your friends died. Some of them quit years ago. Some of them only purchase and smoke one pack a month, but you smoke an average of one pack a day, and therefore you're spending $100 to $150 per month on cigarettes. Now, as distasteful as that example is, this is exactly what we do with something positive and something healthy. We give it away as a gift. We show someone how to use it. We do it again and again, and eventually they want to do it on their own. Just like smoking, some will keep doing it over a lifetime and others will quit. But you'll know that by sharing this gift with others, you're doing good in the world and bringing joy and appreciation to others through your act of giving something away. Help enough other people get hooked, and your checks can also be $100,000 a month or more. Once again, we will not have a call next week, next August 15th, due to the convention planning. If you have to get your fix, go to our archives, and I'll send the email out about that. I am going to open the lines and give you all a chance to say goodnight. I want to thank you for being on the call tonight. So on the count of three, if you'd like to shout out your name and the city you're calling from, in just a moment I'll open the lines. Hang on, guys. I'll be right with you. On the count of three, tell me your name and the city you're calling from. One, two, and good night, everybody. Thanks for being on tonight. Good night.
Good night.
Kevin from
Love you. Bye.
Florida. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Florida.
I'm from Red Springs.
Rich Casanova, Detroit, Michigan.
Rich Casanova, Ted Bruce here.
And the Bruce, San Francisco, San Maria, California.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
My buddy, Rich Casanova.
Amanda, Texas.
Hey, Amanda, huh? Amanda.
Joanne.
Hey, Joanne.
Where did that go?
Down in Michigan.